This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to discuss today. We have talked a lot of Crew the last few podcasts. We will still bring up the Crew, of course. There's a little bit to discuss there as they get ready for their next round of CONCACAF Champions Cup next week. We know the times and dates for all that, so we'll get into all of it. Also, we've got a German champion, new German champion.
The Meister.
Yeah. So we'll talk about Bayer Leverkusen it done. Also, the title race in the Champions League, couple of spoilers popped in there. One that's a spoiler, one that was, I mean, it's a Champions League team in their own right, if they hang in where they are now, getting it done. But yeah, there's some mighty big movings happened in the last week in English soccer. Chelsea players seem to be having a great time going on there. And Champions League was insanity.
Well, it's been terrific. It's been great already. And like Soccer Podcast Day, and we'll get to it a little bit later. It's Wednesday, so we don't even have like the full boat to go over because we do have two more fixtures today. We got Bayern and Arsenal to go over, and we have Real Madrid and City. They play later on this afternoon. But like everything in the run up has been pretty unbelievable so far.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. So we're moving. We're getting it going. And Beam, anything going on with you before we get into it?
Yeah, speaking of getting going and moving, like William's walking now, just tearing across the house. His first steps were, I don't know, probably Bone, like almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like probably 12 days ago. Like I remember it was a Friday. It was, I don't know if it was nice out or what we were doing, but he was really like kind of taking his first real steps. Now he could take a step, stop, take a step, stop, but like stringing them together and then doing it consistently, it's pretty awesome to watch like how quickly things change just within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Cause we go from barely walking at all to now we're just ripping apart the house, going from one end to the other, chasing the dog. We're even being like, he's even being more vocal, just like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what are you trying to say to me? And he's like, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Oh man, they've got like, that's one of my favorite stages of that development is when, cause we've been through it three times where the kids are like, I have thoughts now. I am aware of my environment. Yeah. I know who you are. I know who that dog is. I know who mom is. But can I verbalize what I'm going through?
No.
But they're like so confident at like, listen to me. Don't you see what I'm saying? And it's like, sorry, buddy. We're not there yet. You haven't formed all the words yet. It'll come. Don't worry.
Which also grows in frustration for him because he's like pointing at something. He's like,
yeah.
You don't get it for him. Then he starts crying. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah. That's yeah. Cause then you're like, well, now we're both crying. Cause yeah. I can't stop. I can't help you. And you're mad and I'm sad and everybody's. Yeah.
He's starting to get a little bit picky too. Like we'll give him foods and immediately just. Phew,
oh,
gone, boom. Like thrown across the house.
So I'm saying yeah. It's like, he now knows what he likes and doesn't like. It's not like there's like a memory happening of like, I know what this is and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Get it out of my effing face. Yeah. Like right now. No, I will say the only I'll add on the language front of like talking, our youngest is 4 and she's going to preschool now or like a, you know, kinder care kind
she's
of
close
preschool.
Probably to a full arsenal then, right?
Oh yeah. She's got all the words and sentences and, but it's funny because she still has the L's or W's kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's, I want to go play instead of go play, stuff like that. So the other day we're sitting at her preschool getting ready to go in, but we were sitting in the car waiting because they weren't opening the doors yet. And so some of the parents getting out, their kids are walking up, and she sees this set of twins, which I'd seen. There's a couple twins that go to the school, two little girls her age. And she goes, oh, Daddy, look, it's two Gracies. And I said, oh, two Gracies? Because that's also R's or also a W. So then I said, two Gracies, huh? She goes, yeah, it's the two Gracies. And I said, I don't think that's their name. Both of them, it's two different people. Do you know the other girl's name? Because obviously one of them's Gracie. And she stops for a minute and she goes, Oakley. Then I'm like, all right. So Gracie and Oakley apparently are the girls' names. But, you know, I thought it's just, I realize in a few years that's gone too. Like she'll just sound like a regular person. She won't have that little kid inflection on things. And so I'm saying, get ready for the fun when the language starts coming and you're deciphering. And then he'll have a point where he'll say stuff and you'll know exactly what he's saying. And everybody else will be like, what did your kid just say? And you're like, oh, you didn't hear that? He said he was reading about Nelson Mandela yesterday. And he's really, really understanding the plight and how apartheid was awful.
He was listening to the podcast and he had a few critiques. As does everybody.
It's a good time, though. What's going on in their brains versus what they can get out, though, at this stage, I would love science to explain, they understand all this. They just can't say it.
Right.
But they do understand it. That's how I feel.
Like when you go to change him, like change the diaper, he knows from the second that you pick him up because of the time of day that it usually happens. Like we're on a pretty good schedule.
Yeah.
That if it's like 12:30, 12:45, which is like his big afternoon nap that he takes, that the time that I pick him up at that time of day, he immediately starts crying.
It's a different pickup, right?
He's like, I don't want my diaper changed and I don't want to go down for a nap.
Yeah.
Like, well, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that yet.
See, that's it. They have all the thoughts, but they can't say them. We've now reached a point, at least I have in my life, where I have all the words, but no thoughts. Yeah. So what you hear from 3 to 6 every day on my show and what you hear on here is lots of words, no real thought. Mm-hmm.
just how it goes. We just age out of thoughts.
That's exactly right. We're in a post-thought era is what I like to call that. So the Columbus Crew, you may have heard of them. They're a soccer team in Columbus. We talk about them frequently. They are on 13 points this season through 8 matches for them.
Okay.
That is tied for second. Well, they're fourth in the standings. They're tied for second because top point total is 15. Inter-Miami and the Red Bulls surprisingly have both 15 points. Red Bulls has that through 8 games. Inter-Miami has that through 9 games. Yet somehow Inter-Miami is first in standings.
Probably goal differential.
Yeah, but I would think total like points per game would matter more, but who knows? Anyway, so that's the point is the Crew are right there. You know, they're right there within a game of first place in the league.
Hanging around.
Well, I'm just setting that up to say, because if you watched the game this past weekend, you know, the Crew went to, what is it called
Salt
now?
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, but it used to be called Rio Tinto Stadium. But now I believe there's a bank and it's like America First Financial or something. Anyway, that's the name of the stadium is like America First Stadium or something. Whatever. They went out there 0-0 draw against Real Salt Lake.
It's lovely.
That's all you want.
Yeah.
If you didn't see the lineup, if you didn't pay attention to any of this, they obviously rightfully so are prioritizing CONCACAF Champions League and home games.
Yes.
And so
at this current juncture, Lonnie Stokes,
I mean, you're in the Final Four now.
Yeah.
I mean, you got that done with beating Tigres and doing the ultimate thing we talked about last week. Now you earn a trip back to Monterrey again to go play Monterrey in coming weeks. But first you get them at home coming up this Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday at
6 days from today.
Yeah. So coming up next Tuesday, it's
8:15
kickoff. So it'll be a little bit of a later start for us in Columbus. And then I think the return leg is the following week, and it's like a 10:15 kick.
I
so, yeah, it's super late. And, of course, you know that's
– I mean, it'll all come down to the last 45 minutes.
It'll probably come down to like 120 minutes and penalties. No one
– be until midnight again.
Yeah, that won't be good for me. That will not work out
me
the next
either.
Day. Well, no, you, because you just might as well come into work after right. that.
Hang out with Shark.
Yeah. But this game at Real Salt Lake, I mean – They had, is it Taha Habrun who got his first start, which is great to see. That is the first player for the Crew who has gone from the youth academy to then to their developmental team, to then the second team, to then the first team.
Yeah.
First kid to go all the way through the pipeline.
How
and be
awesome is that?
The most homegrown you can be.
Imagine for him going to school on Monday. Like, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I played soccer.
Professional soccer. Professional soccer player.
No, I was out in Salt Lake City playing for the Crew.
Yeah, how old is he? He's not. I don't think he's that old. I forget if he's
19. 17, 18?
17?
I think so.
Yeah, young dude. Either way, the point being, so they played some young guys. It was essentially playing an MLS Next Pro kind of roster.
He just turned 18 in February.
Good night.
Yeah.
That's insane. So yeah, probably like senior
probably
in high
finishing
school.
Finishing up high school.
Yeah. And and he's a professional soccer player. Yeah. Let him live. He's probably doing that, I'm sure he's doing that with the Crew, but you know, the point being here, good to see that happened. Now the game itself, you get a 0-0 draw, means defensively you held your shape and did what you had to do and got them to get some misses. I saw Evan Bush was starting and was the captain, But then he came out, and then we had a young goalkeeper whose name I'm forgetting that is on the roster, and I've seen his name, but I forget now off the top of my head. He had to come into the game at some point. So this was a all the reasons you would go out and lose were there. You know, you're playing a young roster. You're playing some guys who've never had this moment. And they end up getting a clean sheet.
Nicholas Hagan,
that's right. So they have a clean sheet now. Great to see. This is what this team needed to do. You get that's a point that will matter down the road for sure. And that's how you stay in top four land. That's how you stay in supporter shield race. Lord,
they had 10 changes from their normal lineup.
It's insanity.
10.
It's insanity. I mean, Darlington Nagbe didn't play, and Darlington Nagbe was on the second longest streak in MLS history.
108.
108 games straight played in MLS competition, and it ended, rightfully so, because they looked at it and said, well, come on.
The last game that he missed, and again, I don't know if this is factually correct, had to be, but I'm saying it with confidence.
Yeah.
No, the last game he had to miss had to be the MLS Cup final back in COVID. Like, I'm doing the math on it. That has to be it.
God, you're probably right.
That has to be it.
Yeah, because he's been they play 30 some games a year. Yeah, that's exactly the math checks out for me. So yeah, think about that. And I don't think there's an injury there, right?
No.
I mean, yeah, it's just they know that they can't play him 90 minutes every 2 days at his age and still have the most effective player in MLS, which he often is when he's on the field. So great. Like, I don't mind that the streak ended. I'm just saying that shows you where the priority is. It's not about individual accomplishments. It's about doing what's right for the team. And obviously, we went through that with some of the Cucho stuff, but Wilfried Nancy has shown teams coming first in all aspects. And despite all that drama and despite everything that happened there, you got yourself to the Final Four of CONCACAF Champions Cup. You're within a game of the lead of MLS. And now we are almost, you know, we're in the middle of April. Yeah, so you're
quarter of the way.
You're working your way through the point where this fixture congestion is going to end. You have the month of May is going to be busy, mm-hmm. especially if you can do the thing and be the only MLS team that's left. You have to go up against Mexican teams the rest of the way out. But if you can go win this thing against Monterrey somehow.
But even that, I mean, it's two games minimum, three games max.
Well, yeah, you're right, because the final then is
the first weekend in June.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got the maximum amount of games that we could have hoped for, basically, except for one. We don't know about the one, but other than that.
And you'd sign up to have that one.
Yeah, but I'm saying they've gone through this so far, I would say, pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So right where you want to be. You're within striking distance of the top, and you've won, and you now have a chance to go win some more. So they're going to have to manage this again. You've got Portland on the weekend.
Yep. Home.
Home game. But then, obviously, Tuesday, you have a more important to me game that I think takes priority. So you're going to see more of, I'm sure, a lot of guys maybe starting who don't normally start, or guys getting subbed out of halftime, or guys getting started
play
out of 60 minutes. Yeah. They're going to manage this the best they can. You got to keep all fronts happy. And I would say,
especially, too, the guys who didn't play last week against Real Salt Lake, you would have to think that they're on fresher legs.
Yeah.
Even if they do give you a 90, the bounce back period from Saturday evening into Tuesday night,
yeah,
it'll be much better than if they had played a full 90 this past weekend.
Completely agreed. And yeah, this is the moment that we wanted to see the crew be in. They've earned the right to get to this point now with the Final Four of CONCACAF Champions Cup. So excited to watch that. The point on the road in Real Salt Lake, I'll take it every time.
Absolutely.
I'll take it with a full squad.
Yeah.
It's just weird going out there. It's weird, you know, sometimes playing at altitude, playing in different time zones, all that stuff. Going out west against teams you don't see as often. Yeah, getting a point on the road is fine with me, however you do it. Let's talk about a team that got the job done in Germany, because we have a new champion of the Bundesliga.
How about that?
That's a pretty amazing thing. We had talked quite a bit about Xabi Alonso taking this team and turning them into just a powerhouse in German football, where now you're looking at have they ever won the Bundesliga? Right.
Ever.
That's why they were often called, you know, Bayer Leverkusen.
Yes.
Which is a good line. I like that. But yeah, this is a team full of guys that, you know, they brought in a lot of veterans. They brought in a lot of guys who had played in Germany over the years.
There's a lot of really good players on their team, too.
Like, yeah.
It's a good mix of young players, old players, players who've been in the German league, players who haven't been in the German league before. Like, it was a nice marriage by Xabi Alonso to get this team kind of pieced together.
Yeah. And they've got guys like Granit Xhaka, who had been,
right,
you know, he'd been in Germany, played for Borussia Mönchengladbach back in the day, and then went on to play, obviously, in England for quite some time.
Jonathan Tah, who's been there for a while.
Yeah.
Like Grimaldo, who's very good, right? I mean, I think he's 28 or 29, like just starting to come in to the peak. And then you've got the young guys like a Jeremy Frimpong, like 23 years old, just starting out. Is he going to stay at Leverkusen for a while? Like, no, but he's probably going to go somewhere else and is going to demand a high dollar out of that. So, I mean, Florian Wirtz, who's one of the best midfielders in the world, who has been playing at Leverkusen for a while. And then just their overall mixture of bag, and with Bayern Munich winning it for the last 12 years, if you thought anybody was going to upend them, it was going to be Dortmund, right? I mean, sure. We all thought like the natural line of progression and the natural line of thinking was going to be that, okay, Dortmund, how do they stack up against Bayern this year? Nobody's going to challenge those two teams. But they have 7 games left to go in the league.
Yeah, man.
And they already clinched it.
It's already wrapped up. And with a, 5-0 victory over Werder Bremen? Is that how they got it done? Yeah. So, I mean, they clearly are firing on all cylinders, and a tremendous accomplishment for them. So the closest they came, as far as I can tell, in recent vintage, was they were runners-up to Dortmund and Schalke in the Bundesliga and the DFB Pokal.
Yeah, which is their, which is like their FA Cup.
Yeah.
It's their international, or their league cup.
Yeah, it's their, right. That was in 2002. They also lost to Real Madrid, I believe, in that same year in Champions League. And that was off of a Zinedine Zidane volley. So, like, these are the names.
And
this is the time we're talking about here. This is a totally different situation that they're playing in now. So, it's been a very long time since they got to that point. So, no, big congratulations to them.
Did you see the scenes of their stadium when Wirtz, I don't know at what point in the game. It was very much towards the end, though. When Wirtz had a breakaway, because they won 5-0. Like, it wasn't even close. And he scores a goal late in the game. He's going nuts. The stadium's going nuts. And the stadium is literally, like, bursting at the seams. Like, fans are running onto the field. And he's having to tell the fans, like, get back.
Right.
Get back. Like, it's not over
it's not
yet.
Over.
I scored in the 93rd minute or whatever. The ref is going to blow the whistle momentarily. And then all hell is going to break loose. But, like, so when he scored, there was a big, like, kind of wave of energy that you see of, like, everybody excited and celebrating, and so they knocked down the barriers.
Oh my gosh.
And then they had to obviously get themselves back, and then pandemonium ensued after the final whistle blew. One of the great scenes that we've seen. I mean, their entire stadium filling out onto the field and having a great celebration, and what it means for that team. And obviously Bayern's had very dominant run, and we'll see what happens. They're still in the Champions League today against Arsenal. So, like, they could still win a trophy, even though Harry Kane, he's a curse. I thought it was great. I thought it was pretty remarkable to look at a team like that who everybody had discounted at the beginning of the year. Again, we don't follow Bundesliga that much, right? I mean, I'm not watching a ton of games, but when I do, they have been pretty awesome this year.
Yeah, I'm not watching it as much as I would like to. I don't watch a lot of things as much as I would like to. Just we mentioned kids earlier. Yeah. I do end up having a lot of stuff. Like, Saturday mornings now, I'm back to soccer, but it's kids soccer. We're out at that. So, but trying to keep up with some of this stuff, as much as I wish I kept up with it more, that storyline has been one of the more fascinating ones, and one of the ones I try to drop in on as much as I can, is Bayer Leverkusen getting it done. So let them live. That's a big deal for them. And I don't know if I'm excited about them winning it. It's just, it's a nice story. I like good stories like that. Do you remember what the odds were when they first started off the season?
No, I have no clue.
They wouldn't have probably been like the Leicester odds back a few years ago in the Premier League, but certainly wouldn't have been, you wouldn't think they would be, you know, it wouldn't have been close. There would have been at least 3 or 4 teams ahead of them that you would have thought would have won it. But really, it's just the fact that Bayern Munich didn't win it this time is as much of a story as
anything
else. First
time in 12 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's that in of itself is its own storyline. And then who it is that upended them, like you said earlier, not being Borussia Dortmund. That's quite the thing.
They said at the beginning, I don't have the odds on it, but I'm looking here that they had a 0.9% chance of winning the league.
Jeez.
0.9.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
So I don't know what those odds translate into, because back in the 15-16 season, Leicester had 5,000-1 odds, obviously, of winning the Premier League, and they did that.
Sure.
And it says here that Leverkusen was 1,500-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's 15-1 odds. Yeah. Not quite, you know, 50-1 or whatever it was for Leicester, but still that's quite a thing.
Yeah.
So all right. So we'll talk about that, or we did talk about that. Let's talk about some Champions League action that did happen that we know of. I don't know which game you want to start with, but the one
I had the multicast on, so I was watching both of them.
I only was watching yesterday, and again, I was in the studio, so I was watching Barcelona take on PSG, mm-hmm. and I look up and I see their goal that put Barcelona up 4-2 from Rafinha, right? I believe where he's gone off and scoring in this Champions League out of nowhere. And that goal was set up by a young player for them whose name I'm blanking on, who's like 16, 17 years old, who's playing in the Champions League and just completely undressing defenders, dribbling through their defense and brilliant pass, right? So I'm looking at this going, all right, Barcelona's up 4-2.
Lamine Yamal,
that's right. And
60-60.
Yeah, Taha Habrun has an interesting story going back to school.
He's 18.
This kid, the school's named after him. Yeah. Like, they don't even have school anymore. All right, so he's going
to
be a legend.
He didn't go to Barcelona to play school.
However, he didn't get to play much longer because they had a player sent off.
Yeah, Araujo.
Barcelona did. Araujo got sent off in the 34th minute or something like that. And so then they had to make some subs to account for the fact that they're down a man in this big, immense game for them, you know. They have to get
it
done.
They're at home.
They're at home. But
it's
now
not the new camp. They're
now
at
they
their
play
other stadium.
60 minutes left against a very powerful side.
So
playing with 10 men, that's not a great thing. And it turned out not to be a great thing.
These games started at 3 o'clock. Meredith usually gets home around 3:30. Obviously, I'm watching. I've got the multicast on. Sitting there. William's running around, making sure that he doesn't get into anything. But I've got eyes on the game, and I've got eyes on the kid. Meredith gets home. I'm like, all right, good. I'll just sit down. Here's the kid. You take care of the kid now.
Yeah.
I do it all day. Done it all day. I'm exhausted. And so she's feeding him a snack, and I'm like, oh, boy, penalty. Because at that point, they had not, you know, called the penalty back, and it didn't become a free kick for PSG. She goes, what's the scenes over there? And I said, well, Barcelona's up 4-2 with 60 minutes left to go in the game. She goes, who are they playing? I said, PSG. She goes, that Mbappe? I said, it is Mbappe. She goes, they're toast. She goes, they're toast. I'm like, what do you mean? You don't think that Barcelona can hold on to this league? She goes, no. It's Mbappe you're talking about against 10 men? And I was like clapping. I'm like, look at you.
Yeah.
All right. That seems to be pretty good.
Man, she should have hopped on the live bet and gone and placed a wager, because that would have been awesome. You probably could have got some numbers on that.
They go somewhere. They do something. They're out of the house. They come back. I'm like, PSG won. She goes, of course they did. I told you that. Oh, I told you they would win.
Yeah, dude. I didn't see the red card happen. I just looked up, and all of a sudden I'm like, holy cow, Barcelona scored again.
Yeah.
Oh, or I'm sorry, PSG scored again. And then I'm like, oh, man, they got a penalty. Oh, wow. Like, this. Hold on a second. And then I realized as we're in the, I don't know, 70th minute or whenever I think they got the lead in the 60th minute. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was quick comparatively in game time. And I'm like, what is going on? How the wheels fall so bad? Then I realize there's a red card. They're playing with 10 men.
Yep.
And then that made it seem like, oh, this is impossible.
Mbappe,
there's no way they're
getting
the lead
in the 60th. And then he doubled it. And then the penalty sealed it, obviously, in the 90th.
Yeah. So they got, it was all over at that point. But yeah, this was an immense comeback for PSG. And, you know, I mean, not to get too far ahead in the show sheet, but it could be, one of those crowning moments that you have for Kylian Mbappe, one of his final big pushes that he has for PSG.
He could be playing against his future team in the champions in the final.
Boy, how convoluted is that? We'll talk more about it later, because there's a whole thing going on there where it's like, how future is that future team anyway?
The other game too that was on yesterday was Dortmund and Atletico. And
yes.
So in the meantime, like, all the headline and the glitz and the glam is going to go to Barcelona and PSG. And I get it, understand it. That's the one that you're, if any, you're going to put on TV, right? So this game starts out, teams feeling each other out. The situation was that Dortmund was a goal down. It was 2-1 Atletico heading into Dortmund. So going into Germany was the situation. And I'm like, well, we know what this is going to be. Defense of the dark arts. Like, is what it's going to be from Diego Simeone.
That's your favorite strategy. You love him as a coach. You love watching Atletico Madrid when
they
play that way.
Yeah. My guys love him. And so Julian Brandt gets a goal in the 34th minute. And then right after that, they score again. Dortmund does. So they go from down in the tie and then 5 minutes in game tie to leading it at home.
Yeah.
So place is losing their minds. Mats Hummels scores an own goal, which stinks.
Yeah.
So now the tie is tied. And then Atletico takes the lead in the 65th minute. I'm like, okay, well, now we know exactly what.
Now you only have 30 minutes to defend. It's going to be the most gross soccer you've ever seen.
And then Dortmund scored two goals in 2 minutes to go back ahead.
Oh my God.
And I mean, I'm just watching this because at the same time, Barcelona, PSG, insanity. I'm looking at that. That's crazy because Barcelona's now throwing everybody forward. This game's trying to end. I'm looking at one screen, but my eyeballs, I feel like, need to go in different directions.
Yeah.
And you come to the end, Dortmund are 4-2 winners. They see off the lead. Atletico can't push it across the finish line. And I've never been happier in my life for some team to be ousted out of the tournament because I couldn't deal with Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone for 180 minutes against PSG. I would not be interested in that at all.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You and I can both agree on something. We hate Atletico Madrid.
Yes.
I'm pro Real Madrid,
yes.
But you just hate them, and I hate them too. So there we go. So that's one thing we can both unify on is no likey Atletico Madrid. That's good. But that, you know what? I wonder this, because when you're trying to get people to watch soccer who never have, and they'll say, because I've always had this discussion with people, it's like, yeah, but you don't get buzzer beaters like in basketball, right? Or you don't get that last minute touchdown like you get in football where there's like a 2 minute drill and the guy's driving down, there's 30 seconds left and he hits a big pass and suddenly they break into the end zone. Oh my God, they won the game. The nice, like that yesterday, you had like 8 buzzer beaters happening almost at the same time with 2 different games, because especially in that Atletico Borussia game, the Dortmund game, that's like every goal is like, oh, now they're going to win. Oh, wait, no, they've tied. Oh, wait, no, it's back. Oh, wait.
No, wait, now they're changing strategy.
Every one of those kind of feels like that could be the buzzer beater. Yeah. Not that you win the game, obviously, if you're tying it up, but tying it up on the road means you now have all the momentum, theoretically. Then Dortmund goes back up, and you're like, okay, now we don't have the momentum. Yeah. And it's just wild how quickly that can change. Same thing with that Barcelona PS. I mean, that the Barcelona goal early in that game felt like, okay, they're at 4-2 at home. This is dusted. This is over. But unless you're Meredith figured that out pretty quick.
Yeah, as soon as Araujo got sent off, she's like, they're toast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And she was right. And I think that is definitely changing the math. But I feel like you had 7 or 8 buzzer beaters in a 90-minute span in those games. And that's the beauty of soccer, especially the beauty of these type of tournaments, this type of situation where you know the stakes. So
especially, too, like, and first legs are great because we're excited to watch, you know, Real Madrid and City today. Then that game was crazy, and so was Arsenal and Bayern. Second legs are
because you know
exactly what you need to do.
Yeah, and the first game is almost, it's like when you know there's 2 parts to this movie, like with the Avengers where they had the 2-part finale to the Avengers franchise, right? It was like, yeah, I'm watching Infinity War, but I'm knowing that Endgame's coming. So I'm going to, like, I know what I'm seeing here is not the end. This is just setting up what's going to be a brilliant, we hope,
finale.
There
were 11 goals yesterday.
Soccer's boring, man.
Yeah.
I can't even watch. It's like watching paint.
Why do we do this pod? I don't know.
Soccer sucks, dude. It's just like, ugh. Do they ever score? They're flopping. No one understands the rules. Yeah. It's the simplest game in the world, but yet somehow it gets overcomplicated and it's boring, according to people who never watch it. I'm not bitter or mad. You know what? Let them miss out. We had fun yesterday, right?
We did.
That's the best part. All right, we'll talk about some teams that are not having fun right now in the Premier League when we come back. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
As always, you can tweet the program at Bone Beam United on Twitter, of course, or X. What are we supposed to say if you're not tweeting at us, but it's called X now?
You're Xing us.
You're Xing us.
Send us an X on X.
Not a sext, an X.
You could do that.
You could send an SX.
We would like it.
Some of us would like it.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're sending. It depends on what you send. I guess I may like it or
me or you.
No, whoever's sending.
We're receiving.
Yeah, we may.
Well, with the bots on X now, it's basically sexting all the time.
It's so ridiculous, man. Yeah, it's like I'll post something. And then I'll see instantly there's like 3 replies.
Show hidden messages.
Well, and like doing this, sometimes we put stuff on social to find out like, all right, what's the reaction to that? And then maybe I'll talk about that on the show, see what the kind of discussion is. So then I'll see, oh, I got 3 replies really quickly. I must have said something really stupid.
Anatomy and bio.
And then you like, you click on it or you click to see the replies and it's like, that's very fake and inappropriate. That's not a real person. That's a video, has nothing to do with what I just talked about. Those videos too, or sometimes just people like Did you see what happened on the train in, you know, Dubai yesterday? And it's just a random, like, internet video aggregator place that you're like, all right, so these are all bots. Yeah. It's kind of a great
experience. Thanks,
Elon. Good job, Elon. Yeah. So in the Premier League title race, which we have been talking about, we've wanted a title race. It felt like we had one. Math tells us we still have one, Beam, but sometimes math and, like, our souls don't always align.
Well, and
right?
That's what the math ain't mathing and the souls are souling right now.
Well, I'm saying, like, technically, Arsenal and Liverpool are, what, 2 points back?
Yeah, I mean,
they're not
they're
out
within
of it
striking
from
distance.
A mathematical
but
standpoint.
But knowing who's in first.
That's where your spirit and your soul and your emotional body is just like, there's no chance. So
over the weekend,
yeah,
I'm sitting there, and I don't even remember what we were really doing. Is this Master Sunday? It was Master Sunday.
So you probably were clicking into that a little bit.
Yeah, I think I was watching Tiger, and I was watching our Buckeye AM, Neil Shipley. I was watching that, but I'm like, yeah, this, you know, it seems like a good morning for soccer. I think William was down for his nap. He was in a good mood running around the house. So I wasn't really doing anything. I'm like, let's turn on this Liverpool game, see what happens. Crystal Palace had the lead by the time that I turned it on. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll tune in, watch the last 45 minutes of this. I'm like, it's Liverpool. They're at home, right? Like, they're not going to lose this game.
No.
Chance goes by, 65th minute. Chance goes by, it's a 70 minute. Chance goes by, it's a 75th minute. Chance goes by. I'm like, oh, we're in a crunch time now and really getting a point. Like, you're going to need to get three. I know that Liverpool have the flair for the dramatic and Klopp's final run, and they've been really good. Like, when they've gone down, like, that's been their MO this year. Like, they get down, they don't panic. So Crystal Palace ended up holding them off in that game. It's the first time in, I want to say, 55 or 56 home games that Liverpool have lost at Anfield.
Yeah.
So, like, it's been 2.5, almost 3 years since they've lost at home in the league, which is a stunning run. That's pretty remarkable. And that's obviously why they've been competitive this year, is because they've made Anfield a fortress. So Crystal Palace going there, they beat Liverpool. I'm like, okay, surprising. It's going to be a two-team race. Then I flip on the Arsenal game, and Arsenal just get hammered by Villa.
At,
like,
the Emirates.
80th minute, fine. Like, they're in a good spot to draw. 85th minute, game over. See you later.
Yeah, and it was curtains. That Villa team just did not stop. They found their ways. They got the goals. And now I am the one who has aligned with Aston Villa on this show for this year, thanks to multiple Aston Villa fans reaching out, Mikey, who listens to the program, sent me a jersey, all that stuff. I did not get to watch this game live. I was actually I was actually out hiking. All right. Sorry for trying to be out in nature. How dare I? But when I saw this result, I was so happy for all the, like, long-suffering Aston Villa fans. The ones who've had so many up and downs this year, too, where they knew their team was good enough to be a Champions League team. Yeah. They knew this team had the potential to, you know, maybe even daring to dream the highest dreams possible, maybe even have a chance at fighting for top spot in the league.
Yep.
That was a pipe dream. But they still played a major role in the title race. They went in crunch time of the Premier League title race with Tottenham right on their heels, with they're still fighting for their make sure. I mean, again, it may not matter because of that fourth, fifth thing with Champions League. They may get a fifth spot, but don't leave it to chance. You want to be the fourth team, if nothing else. And getting this win put them back in that spot. Going to Arsenal, where they know the stakes. They all know what's going on. Everyone there is aware.
The first time that Arsenal, was it Bailey or Walk? I think it was Bailey who scored the first goal in, like, the 84th minute.
Yeah.
It's the first time that Arsenal has trailed in a Premier League game in 2024. Like, the calendar year, we are in April.
Yeah.
It's the first time they have trailed this year in a Premier League game.
And it was at home with a handful of games left in the calendar.
Yes.
I mean, with you're in the midst of a title race and you know who Manchester City is.
And in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Like,
yeah,
you
right.
got that to worry about, too.
Well, and you could argue maybe that's part of what takes not their focus away, but I mean, the teams like Arsenal.
I don't know, after last year, like, they didn't want to slip down the stretch again.
They've had. I was even going to say Arsenal in 5 years ago hasn't been in this spot recently.
Yeah.
This Arsenal group has now been in that spot, saw some of that last year. They know the stakes, and there's no, like, shock to them that, oh, yeah, it's really tough to manage minutes and manage, you know, expectations and all the different things you have to do when you're playing in these multiple high-level games. That's what you're paid to do. That's why these guys are all worth tens of millions of dollars. And yet, Aston Villa found a way.
They did find a way. And my favorite part about Arsenal losing is that whenever Bukayo Saka has a bad game, he just he just acts like he's hurt.
Yeah.
He just starts limping around. It's like,
a good strategy.
I guess.
Or, I mean, now the chicken or the egg thing could be maybe he's hurt and then he has the bad game. Maybe that's what it is. But
limp doesn't appear until after they lose are losing in crunch time.
Yeah. Maybe it's adrenaline.
I mean, what odds would, because you, I think you and I, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this title run in. We were talking about maybe who we think is going to get to the end of the road. And I think you and I either both said Liverpool or both said City. I can't remember exactly where we are, but I'm like 90% certain that City is going to win now.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that. I mean, I hate to say it because I'm not rooting for that. I know you're not. Just looking ahead to who Manchester City has the rest of the way out.
Chelsea at home this weekend.
That's the FA Cup match,
that's
right?
That's right. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's FA Cup. But that's then they've got Brighton, Nottingham Forest, Wolves, Fulham.
Jesus.
Tottenham, West Ham.
That's it.
And that's – I'm not – there's no one – all the tough games are gone.
Yeah.
Like, now, I mean, now granted, like – Crystal Palace wasn't supposed to be that great of a challenge for Liverpool, and they ended up being that. But no, I mean, short of Manchester City, the worst thing that could probably happen for Liverpool and Arsenal here is if Real Madrid takes care of business, which, again, you'll know if you're listening to this podcast, if they get it done against Manchester City, then maybe that's even that you actually probably are rooting for Manchester City to keep winning in Champions League.
Correct.
So they keep having fixture congestion. Yeah. That's about the only thing you can look to here. Cause otherwise, it's that doesn't look promising from a point standpoint. I mean, even if you win out, you would presume Manchester City's probably going to be able to get that done.
I mean, I look at the Tottenham game on the road.
Yeah. That's the only one that Tottenham's and that's a team that's fighting for Champions League. And again, you just got another team in that race, beat one of the teams in the title race in Arsenal losing to,
Brighton on the road can be a tricky task.
Sure.
But it's not
for most teams. Not for Pep and Manchester City.
Right.
If it is, it's shocking.
And they've also been here the last 5 years. Like, they know what it takes.
If there's a team that does know what it takes, clearly it's them. Yeah. So that's not a lot of optimism there, buddy. Not a lot of optimism for anyone who is rooting against Manchester City, which is everyone who doesn't who is not a Manchester City fan.
Right.
So, congrats to them on probably winning everything.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, we don't know what the Champions League is, but
they could still run it back with a treble defense.
By the time you hear this, you'll know whether or not that's still a thing.
They will be into the semifinals of the Champions League by the time you're listening. I hope not, too. I'm with you. A la Madrid today. You and I are both pulling for them.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about we go to Real Madrid real quick because there's a fun little story here with Kylian Mbappe, who we just talked about with PSG and how
I figured you'd like this. This is really good.
He's an incredible player, and we all know that he is on his way to Real Madrid, and all of that is a thing.
But it's not official.
It's not
any
official
capacity.
But everyone is presuming that it's happening and done. All right. So this comes from French President Emmanuel Macron, who was talking to one of the, one of the news sources there in France.
By the way, this isn't French, soccer president. This is the president of the country.
Yeah. So basically, France is hosting the Olympics, right? It's in Paris this year.
Got the dirty Seine. They don't want their swimmers swimming in the Seine. Apparently there's some bacteria. They don't want them to do open water swimming in there.
Interesting thing I found out about Paris. The sewage from Paris just is dumped into their river.
Yeah.
That sounds Paris is a large city. That seems like not great. I don't really want to know where all the sewage goes.
Paris half the size of Indianapolis, actually.
From a geological standpoint, from people digging, paleontologists are there right now finding fossils. No, but
the catacombs?
Maybe, but from a people living there standpoint, it's much more compact and many more people.
I'd like to go to Paris sometime.
I would too. I've heard from a few people who have been that it wasn't their favorite European city to go to, but I mean, what does that mean? I think I would love to go to Paris to see.
Like, just to drink beer, drink wine, and eat bread. Like, that seems pretty cool to me.
I will go be the touristy tourist. I will go to the Eiffel Tower, the Champs-Élysées, and the Louvre. And
La Louvre.
Call it a day for me. I'm good. If I can get to a soccer game, too, bonus. Like, I don't need to go to, like, oh, yeah, that's where all the tourists go. That's where I am a tourist. Yeah. That's where I would go.
I would go
first
there.
Time.
Yeah.
Then maybe if I go 7 or 8 times, yeah, I'd want to find a little niche off the, you know, no one knows
bistro,
about.
A little cafe.
Yeah, like a real great place.
I told you my dad every year before Jimmy Buffett passed away, RIP, they'd go every year to Paris to see him play, like, his final show of the tour. So they've been to Paris, like, 10 times.
Oh, man. And your dad was such a parrot head.
Oh, he is a big parrot head.
How do you say that in French? I don't even know what French is for head or parrot.
Yeah, I don't either. I was gonna make it up, and no, I was gonna do an accent, but you know what? I'm not gonna culturally appropriate today. So they would go over there, and like they have their spots, they have their bartenders, like they have everything kind of doctored up. So if you'd like to go to Paris, I could probably get some places for us to go.
Yeah. In okay. Paris. Well, that's good. Let's put that on the list. Let's make that happen.
Yep.
So back to President Macron in France. They have the Olympics. They also have teams that play in France that are big time clubs. Technically, Kylian Mbappe is still very much part of a team in France
in
that,
the Champions League semifinals now.
Yeah, and also a French national. So the Olympics would be very important for the French national team, which has been very good, to win the Olympics. Now, that is a U23 tournament, mm-hmm. technically, but you're allowed 3 senior team players. But Mbappe is still under 23, I think.
He may be over.
He may have crossed
now.
Over now. He's been so good for so long, but I can't remember if he's over or under 23. How sad is that? Either way, teams are not required because it's not a FIFA window, technically. The Olympics don't fall into a FIFA competition. They're not required to release players like they would be for the World Cup, let's say. So there's technically no rule saying that PSG or whatever team he's on the books for this summer would release him. So then Macron was asked this, and he said, I think the European clubs need to play the game so that we can put on a great show, talking about releasing players. Mm-hmm. Then he was asked, is that directed at Real Madrid? He said, exactly. When I said European clubs, that is what I meant. The players need to think about it when they consider their preparations and training sessions because we have the Euros. I hope that we'll be playing on July 14th. I haven't spoken with him, but I hope that his club in particular lets him. That's right. They also obviously have that to go along with the Olympic tournament. So you got a lot of fixture congestion in the summer, too, for international teams. If you're playing in the Olympics and also playing in the Euros, maybe a team that just spent a gajillion dollars to get your services might be like, hey, you can play in one, but not both.
I would assume that Real Madrid would say, hey, Emmanuel Macron, blank off.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, I don't live in France. I'm not part of that.
I don't care about you and your Olympic hopes. I hope it goes well for you. But again, we're in Spain.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing in Spain, just coming off of the Euros. We have. Why would we do that?
Right.
Why would we put our player through that?
After having this, again, another, they're continuing on in Champions League. So they've got that going, right? He's still going to be busy doing that for PSG. And then Real Madrid is like, as soon as he gets here, we're going to have Champions League stuff for him to deal with.
6-7 games in the Euros.
Yes, and all the Euro stuff. Who knows how far they'll go with France, but then...
Deep, probably.
And you're asking for him to be released for not just that, but also the Olympics? Like, no. That's
too much.
Yeah, and it's going to be wild.
Unless Kylian Mbappe goes to, like, Fiorentina Perez... And says, listen, I
want to
be released.
I want
to represent France in the Olympics.
Yeah, and you
never
know. Then
I feel like you probably listen to him and give him the nod.
And I don't know if he's played in the Olympics and won it. I can't remember what happened the last Olympics. I'm sorry I didn't look it up. But presuming that he would value like a gold medal, I couldn't blame a guy for wanting to do that.
No.
But I'm also someone who, yes, staunchly club over country, even in my own. Like, I would want the crew to win again before I would really care about players leaving to go help the U.S. national team. Sorry. I know... Outside of winning a World Cup, if I thought there was a legit chance that a crew player that was a U.S. national was a key to them winning the World Cup.
Like that's Aiden Morris in 2026?
Please God, that'd be awesome if that's where we're at. But that what I'm saying is even if that scenario presented itself, it would be tough for me to wrap my brain around it, but I'm sure I would get there. Outside of that, like I don't care if my guys help the U.S. win the Gold Cup. I don't care. Like, I don't really...
Like Aiden Morris and Patrick Schulte missing some time this year for the Olympics. To go play the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care.
If they're even on the roster by that time?
I, yeah. I. That's So many complications to that one, right, Beamer? I'm just telling you, I am a club over country guy every single time. But
Communist Bone, that's what they call you.
But if you're for like, but again, I don't, I almost, in a different way, if it's a guy playing for the Crew who then gets called up for his country that is not the U.S., I have much less thought on it. Because it's like, I'm not in your shoes. I don't know your country's history, whatever. I don't know how much this means to you.
Like for Cucho, I'm like, I hope he gets called up to Colombia.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I hope he doesn't get hurt. I hope he can end up playing for us for a long time and be healthy. But I wouldn't stand in his way. And I'm not going to stand in the way of any of the U.S. guys either, clearly. I'm just saying
yes,
for me.
Yes, we are. We're going to block it. You and me, buddy. Arm in arm.
Yeah.
Going to link up around a tree. Only way you're taking this down is with a bulldozer.
Yeah, we're gonna lock our arms and wrap ourselves around a sycamore. Yeah, you're not gonna move us. Final thing to talk about here: the Chelsea players. This was
childish.
So bizarre.
It's childish.
So they're up in this game 4-0. What's the dude's? What's the
Cole
kid's name?
Cole Palmer. Hat trick already.
And Cole Palmer, by the way, came into this game with 16 goals.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, he's good.
Really good. Well, he has 3. And then a penalty is called.
So I don't know if the penalty, again, so there was like 2 penalty shouts for this. I don't know if it was the foul on Cole Palmer or if it was the foul on Madueke that ultimately got called the penalty. So the situation, like, ball goes to get put down. Connor Gallagher rips the ball out of, I think it was Madueke, goes and rips the ball out of his hand. There's a fight going on the field. They're up 4-0 in this game.
Yeah, and they're, like, hand-slapping each other, like, I want the ball. No, I want the ball. No, I want to take it. No, I'm supposed to take it. And there's a little bit of an argument and a discussion. This was against Everton, for those who missed it on Monday.
Finished 6-0. I mean, they kicked their ass.
They kicked their ass, yes. But then in the middle of that, they're arguing over who gets to take the goal, and ultimately Cole Palmer won out and then took
Cole
penalty.
Palmer is also their normal penalty kick taker, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I could understand it, and I don't know the dynamics of how this works on teams.
Obviously not very good with him.
No, but what I would say is I could understand if, like, your leading goal scorer looked at another guy and was like, hey, man, we're up big in this game.
I
already
have a
bagged
trick.
3 goals. Yeah. Personal goals aside, I want you to have a chance to get a goal. I want you earned, or maybe you earned that penalty. Just for this once, but you know, typically the way that works is if you give up your spot, the other guy makes it, now he's the guy.
Yeah.
So it's not something you give up. It's not like someone is like, hey, can I just be the captain for one game? No, like, you earn the captaincy. You earn the right to take penalty kicks. So I get why he didn't want to give it up, but maybe that's where some of this came from, was this other player saying, haven't you had enough today? Can I earn this one? Can I have it?
And I fully agree with the other 2 players, like, in this situation. Like, yeah, put the ball down. See if you can take the ball away from Cole Palmer. Like, if you're the player to go up and you want to put the ball down and you don't get anything from your captain or you don't get anything from Cole Palmer himself, like, coming up to you and being like, hey, man, let me take it.
Yeah.
And that's all that needs to be said, right? If you put the ball down, if you're confident enough, like, I won that penalty, you have a hat trick, I'm going to go put the ball down on the spot, we're going to move on with things. Now, if your regular penalty kick taker already comes up to you, is like, hey, move out of the way, that's mine. Or if he doesn't, then you, like, you know. But to have a fight,
fight, it's a bad look.
While you are up 4-0, while your guy's already on a hat trick, is remarkable.
Well,
Hotch was
pissed
about it too.
I can't blame him. Yeah. I mean, that's it looks so ridiculous. And then bad enough you're having that fight in the locker room. And then of course everybody gets chewed out for, like,
what's the Chelsea dressing room looking like?
Well, but, like, if they have that moment in the dressing room, I'm sure that's happened before that
of
we've
course.
Never seen.
Yeah.
I'm sure a guy's put the ball down. The regular penalty kick taker was like, yeah, nice try. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
And then the other guy goes, all right, walks back, and the whole rest of the game he's pissed, goes over to the sideline, yells about it to the coaches after the game, maybe has it out with that player. That all happens off where you don't see it. Then we hear about inner team issues and stuff a few months later. This was on display for everyone. It's just no denying it, and it's a bad look all around, especially when you're up in that game. If it was a tight game, it would be different. Then maybe you could argue, well, hey, he felt like he had a chance to score. Either way, Cole Palmer now sitting, I think, tied for the lead in the Golden Boot race
in
the Premier League with 20 goals.
Scored a hat trick against 4. United, too.
I mean, he's done a lot of his damage in, like, 3 games, but whatever. He's a good player. I'm not denying that. But when you go from kind of not, you're in, like, the top 5 or top 6 in goal scoring to now you're tied for the lead with Erling Haaland.
And that guy
for Premier League goals.
Was a guy that City said, so long.
Crazy.
Like, this season is like, you're in our academy. We'd like to keep you here, but we can move you on elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's a City reject. Not a reject. They would obviously like to have him. I know that Pep was like talking about him. Like, we a couple more years, like he'd be ready to go. But that's Chelsea, that's City.
Yeah, right. That's the level we're talking about.
Chelsea, I give them credit too. Like, their season's been nothing short of a disaster. As of recently, like, they've kind of gotten it
They've
back
shored
together.
It back up. Yeah.
They've gotten
it's
it
not what
together.
They expected.
Haven't
though,
lost a game since February.
Pretty good. You all you can hope for at this point is build momentum towards next year. And then you're not going to transfer the same number of transfers you've done the last few years, but you've got to make some smart moves and continue to build off what you have. And don't lose anybody that's vital. That's where they have to be right now. So
maybe don't lose anybody over this penalty spat either, because then it could be like, you know what, not playing with that guy again.
That's exactly right. Got to keep it all together. All right. Well, that's it for us. We'll talk more next week. Thanks again for listening. Hopefully, we'll see where the crew are after their first leg in the Champions Cup with Monterrey at home. Hopefully, a lot of good to discuss there. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.